Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I am at wildcatauthority.com senior editor Jason Shear. Hope everyone is staying safe, staying home, staying healthy, staying sane. Also, keep that in mind. I know I'm having trouble with the latter one, being home with two girls. School's been canceled for the rest of the year, so it's going to be an interesting next few months. But got to do what you got to do. The good thing, in a way, is that there's still plenty of talk to talk about with Arizona athletics. Even though there's no actual sports on to watch, the news is still coming pretty rapidly from a fan perspective, and in the sense where it's not just us sitting around arguing about when college sports will be played again or listening to
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
College coaches pretend like they're experts on what the heck is going to happen next season. Instead, there's recruiting news and such. Two pieces of recruiting news coming up. The big one from this past weekend is one that will focus on the commitment of Terrell Brown, transfer out of Seattle, and then the other one being that Kerwin Walton is probably a week away from making a decision. But we'll get to Kerwin Walton probably in a future podcast in the next few days or so, but really just wanted to focus on Terrell Brown from Seattle. He is an intriguing prospect. In the sense where the recruitment moved pretty fast. It really, there weren't many indications that it was going to move fast. Most people thought it would be between Arizona and Washington. And I think that says a lot about what type of player Terrell Brown may be mentally. Because here's a kid where I went back and I watched Synergy film clips of Seattle. And I am confident in saying that I'm not sure I saw a college offense run like Seattle ran their offense. If you watch clips, Seattle's offense basically consisted of Terrell Brown getting the ball at some point, you know, either full court, three-fourths, half, whatever it may be, clearing out and going to work. We call that the do him offense in the industry, where basically it's just like, do you. You know, it's an AU offense. And that's basically what Terrell Brown was running for Seattle. I do not blame him for it. I want to be, you know, specific. You got to have a head coach allowing you to do that. And if a head coach is going to allow a player to basically shoot anytime he wants and not run much of an offense, that's what you're going to get. So it's hard to blame the player for basically running that type of offense. When meanwhile, Jim Hayford, who's the Seattle coach, he replaced Cameron Dollar, isn't really running an offense. I mean, it's pretty remarkable when you watch clips. So here's Terrell Brown, and you assume, look, he's living the life at Seattle. I mean, he really is. When you take a look at the number of shots that he was putting up, he put up 19 shots per game, right there among the nation's leaders in field goal attempts. 19 shots in a college game is crazy. It's six more shots than he put up his first year at Seattle. Went from 12 to 18, 19 shots. Shooting percentage went down with the expanded shots. But here's a kid where there is not going to be as much freedom at any other school in the country than Brown has at Seattle. And it may come down to winning. It may come down to him just wanting to have a bigger stage. But it's not coming down to shot selection. Because I can tell you that whether he had gone to Washington, Arizona, wherever he was going, that was a bigger school than Seattle, his shot selection, his offensive freedom, is not going to be there. So in order for him to leave Seattle, and some people would say it's a bad decision. Look, you're putting up 19 shots a game. You're living the life. But in order for him to leave Seattle, he had to come to some mental agreement where he says to himself, look, man, I'm not putting up 19 shots a game. It is not happening. If I go to Arizona, no matter where I go, it's not happening. And so, in a way, he deserves credit for the fact that he chose a school like Arizona, because I can look at his numbers, and I'll get to those in a bit, but he's not putting up those shots. He's not going to run an offense that resembles anything that they ran at Seattle, if they even ran an offense. It's going to look completely different. And because of that, I find it difficult to look at him and kind of carry over and say what he's going to do or not going to be able to do. And so I have to admit that when I look at his statistics for efficiency, they're not good. Like, you're not looking at him and going, man, that's a really efficient player. Now, again, it goes back to the fact that he's not surrounded by a lot of talent at Seattle. Seattle was not a good team. He had complete freedom. But, you know, he's shooting 29% from three, shooting 41% from the field. He's not shooting off the catch, you know, at all. He's just not a very efficient player. He does have some good numbers off the pick and roll, and there is some highlight there. He's supposed to be a good defensive player. So that is that's a plus. But there's obviously some concern. And I think that the concern is warranted. I have to say I'm not that high on the Terrell Brown commitment, but I do get it from Arizona's perspective, which we'll get to in a sec. It's just he is a very different player than what we're used to at Arizona, at least. And I don't want to say he's like a Gabe York, because I think he's a little more dynamic and a little more balanced than that. But he's the type of guy where he's probably going to need to be somewhat of a volume shooter in order to have success. You take a look at him, and there are some positives. You know, he did average 6 rebounds and 5 assists a game. There is a playmaking ability where even though they ran that do-him offense, he only turned the ball over 2.5 times a game, and he still averaged 5 assists. So he had a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio, which is nice. The thing here is that's important with him right now is that the expectation until Arizona hears otherwise is that James Akinjo is going to miss the first 11 games of the season or so because of the transfer rules and the timing of him leaving Georgetown and all that. Now, if he does miss the first 11 games, and I'm not sure they're going to appeal yet, there's a lot going on in the NCAA, Terrell Brown, very likely, there's still some, you know, it's up in the air a little bit, but Terrell Brown very likely would be your starting point guard for those 11 games. And then when Akinjo comes back, you assume he slides into the starting spot, and there becomes a competition at the two, whoever it may be, or Terrell Brown comes in, plays with Akinjo some, and then backs him up at the point as well. What we saw this past season is that Arizona didn't have a backup point guard. When Nico Mannion went down, or with foul trouble, or whatever it may be, Jamal Baker just wasn't it. Max Hazard wasn't it. And Arizona didn't have that backup point guard. Now, ideally, it would have been Brandon Williams, but we all know his situation. I get asked about him a lot. There is a chance that he's going to give it a go. I think there's a good chance that he's going to give it a go. I don't know what that'll look like. I don't know what the success will be. I don't know how we determine success. I'm not sure the family does it well, but I know that there is a solid chance that they're going to give it a go and see what happens. With that being said, obviously, you still have low expectations about what you'll see from him. So Terrell Brown, at the very worst, is probably your backup point guard going into next season, with a few pieces here or there. And so it's going to be an interesting competition when you look at the guard spot. Kinjo, I mentioned, Jamal Baker is a guy where you look at Jamal Baker and how much better than Terrell Brown is he? I'm not that high on Terrell Brown. Like I said, I shouldn't say I'm not that high on him. There's things I need to see. It's asking a lot for a kid to go to a school where he can put up any shot he wants, to a school at Arizona where the competition is better, the guys around him are better, but he's not going to have that offensive freedom. If Terrell Brown adjusts well to that situation, he's going to surprise me and other people, and I am fully willing to admit and accept that. But again, it's kind of a see it to believe it type of deal. But is he that much worse than Jamal Baker? No, he might be better. I was as hard on Jamal Baker as anybody last season. I thought that Jamal Baker, I know there's people around him that felt that he was a volume shooter, but he's not. He's not a volume shooter. You got to be able to make shots in order to be a volume shooter, and it felt like there were times in the game where he put up shots that he didn't need to be putting up. And he's a guy where all of a sudden you look at his role next season, and they're going to bring in Terrell Brown. They got James Akinjo. Let's say they land Kerwin Walton, and let's say they look in other areas. All of a sudden, you're wondering where Jamal Baker's minutes are going to come from, because Jamal Baker doesn't have that one skill. And I'm not saying that he's not going to play anything like that, but Kerwin Walton, for instance, let's say Arizona lands him, you know he's coming in with the ability to shoot and knock down shots from behind the arc with consistency right away. That's his game. Jamal Baker, you look at him and you say, what is he really good at? And a lot of times when I look at a college player, I say, what are they really good at? Well, Terrell Brown is good at getting to the rim. He does get to the rim well. He takes care of the ball well. James Akinjo, tough kid, defends well, controls an offense, whatever it may be. Christian Coloco, really good shot blocker. Like, you can go down the line and say that a player has one specific skill and then builds on it from there. I'm not sure what Jamal Baker has. So, in terms of Terrell Brown's minutes, it's going to be very interesting. I said this before in kind of a tangent. I think that these preseason predictions that people are doing with Pac-12, they're stupid. They're absolutely stupid. There's a reason I don't do them. I know they're good for publicity and people read them, but me making a prediction about how this Arizona team is going to do now makes no sense. Oregon added like 5 players in August last season. And their team looked completely different. Arizona has numerous guys on the board. Kerwin, Walton, Zaire Williams, maybe another grad transfer, a couple international players. Matt Harms is a guy that they would take right now. You know, there's people there. There's another couple guys that I can't talk about. And so this roster that we know it with Arizona is nowhere near what we're going to see. Like, I read the other day Arizona, John Wilner, I think, predicted Arizona to finish like 8th or whatever it may be. Look, if Arizona adds Zaire Williams, Kerwin Walton, Terrell Brown, Matt Harms, whatever it may be, they're not finishing. They're going to be one of the top 3 teams in the conference, if not the best. And so it makes very little sense to me to be like, oh, this team's going to be like that next season in, April. There's just so much that's going to go on. And so moving back to Terrell Brown and just kind of analyzing that commitment, I don't mind it. I don't hate it. There's just a lot that I need to be convinced of. I get why Arizona took Terrell Brown. I really do. The issue to me is always the carryover, and it happens with transfers often. When you go like Max Hazard, you're like, well, he averaged 13 points at Irvine, blah, blah, blah. What about that carryover when he's not taking as many shots, when he's around better players facing better competition? Are these bulk shooters that are literally going to have to change their DNA to who they are, are they going to have success? Earlier, I touched on the recruitment of Terrell Brown, it was pretty straightforward. Arizona, Washington were the two schools that I heard the most because Brown is from Washington. If you do not know, Brown is Jason Terry's godson. That helped the situation with Arizona. Terry and Sean Miller, I know there's some focus on the message board. It is not a bad relationship. I know that Terry has said some things in the past. It is not a bad relationship like some may assume. So it actually helped Arizona in that regard that Jason Terry and Terrell Brown are obviously close and have a close relationship. And so Arizona was able to land him. It helps because it kind of helps move things along. You know, you worry about certain positions. I mean, like, look at last year. Arizona didn't have that backup point guard, like I mentioned. They thought maybe Baker. They thought maybe Hazard. Those guys came to campus, and it wasn't working. With Terrell Brown, you have video evidence that he could at least run the point guard. All right, the efficiency numbers are a concern, but you know that he could come in, dribble, and be effective as a point guard, whereas you didn't have that proof at all, even when the season was over, with Jamal Baker and Max Hazard. And so that's just kind of an overall analysis of Terrell Brown's commitment. There's going to be a lot of basketball news coming. You know, eventually the assistant coach news will leak. Kerwin Walton is scheduled to decide privately a week from today if he holds forth to it. I believe right now Arizona is the leader in that recruitment. And again, you have Zaire Williams. You have a couple of international guys. There's a couple grad transfers, a couple guys I can't talk about. I love teasing you like that. I'm sorry, guys, but you know I got to have some fun in this quarantine. So with that being said, stay safe. I appreciate you guys for joining me. And yeah, we'll do this again more often. Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.